What was also very interesting at this meeting was the very poor risk patients, the patients who walk in with high LDHs, liver metastases, low hemoglobins, performance status of 1 or 2, and they look bad.
What fraction of patients fit that?
That generally is thought to be about 10 or 15%, but in some practices, especially in lower socioeconomic groups, it may be 25 or 30%. Certainly that was what we saw on the south side of Chicago. We saw a lot of advanced, really sick renal cells. For those patients, most of them have not even been entered into the Sutent or Sorafenib Nexavar trials, and everybody just assumed that they would be entered into those. But about 4 or 5 years ago, Wyeth was developing a drug that at that time was targeting the mTOR pathway. Well, mTOR regulates HIF as well. mTOR is like a rheostat for what nutrients come into the cell. It regulates amino acids and other things, and it says, wait a minute, you don't have enough nutrients in here. I'm going to have to shut you down. mTOR is not like the suicide gene, like P53. mTOR is like the quartermaster, saying, sorry, not enough nutrients. You, Mr. HIF, cannot be making as much HIF. So it regulates HIF and other things. What this does is in a cancer cell, which is wildly producing HIF and all these other proteins, if you shut down mTOR, which is what these drugs are, you lower their nutrient, you lower all of these protein levels. Now, we don't know everything there is to know about mTOR and inhibition. But anyway, that was the theory. So Matt Sherman and his team at Wyeth went to Mike Atkins and a bunch of us around the country and said, would you please study mTOR in renal cell carcinoma? And at that time, we didn't have any of these other agents, sorafenib or Sutent. All we had was interferon. We said, you bet. We studied 111 patients, Jan Dutcher and myself, and a bunch of other of us were on this paper. And we had a very interesting result. It worked. Not a lot, but it was a 10% drug. And it seemed to most likely affect the patients who had this really bad cancer. Their expected survival was nearly doubled by the group of patients who got the mTOR inhibitor. There was no difference in the dose level. We did 3 dose levels quite far apart. And so that is Wyeth then said, well, why don't we do a phase 3 in poor risk patients? And I sort of rolled my eyes and said, oh, come on, they're all going to be dead in 3 to 4 months. How can you possibly expect this to be effective? Plus, there were rare cancers, only 20% or so. So remarkably, at this meeting, Gary Hudis and his team reported the mTOR drug at 25 milligrams IV every week that inhibits mTOR extended life.
Can you pronounce it incidentally?
Temsirolimus. It's like rapamycin. It's an IV version of rapamycin, or rap immune. If you've ever done any allotransplants or any organ transplants, people are on rapamycin.
What are the side effects and toxicity?
Skin rash, anemia, fatigue, diarrhea. It's not an easy drug, but it's not difficult. I mean, it's not a myelosuppressive or pulmonary toxin type drug.
Do you see the drug coming on the market?
Very quickly. This is going to be very fast track.
Just specifically for this unusual situation?
Absolutely. This is an unmet medical need, and it'll go fast. Well, let me finish the story about Gary. So they randomized these men, mostly men, by the way, to a large, they did all the LDH things, et cetera, et cetera. The trial did very well. It went from July of 03 to April of 05. It accrued, I don't know, tons of patients, 600-some patients. They did them into 3 arms, interferon alone, temsirolimus alone, and a combination which had lower interferon and lower temsirolimus. Pretty well balanced. And what they found is overall survival for the temsirolimus group was 10.9 months, substantially better than I would have expected. I expected 5 or 6. Interferon actually did better. It did 7.3 months. And the combination was 8.4, not much better. And most of those patients seemed to come off because of toxicities, probably not being able to tolerate the combination. But the confidence intervals were non-overlapping. The hazard ratio was 0.73. And the progression-free survival was doubled from 2 months to 4 months in the poor-risk patients. Now, you know, this is like a mild advance. You know, it's not like we're making major headway.
Were there any patients, for example, that you took care of who got only this agent who had impressive responses?
I didn't actually join this trial. I joined an earlier one. But yes, the answer is The drug gives you a skin rash, and it's IV every week, so it's a bit of a pain. But I remember a patient that was from South Bend who was literally on this for 2.5 years. Jan Dutcher was telling me about one of her poor risk patients who was on it for nearly 4 years.
These are people with responses?
Yeah. Well, responses, but not big responses. You know, a little bit of shrinkage, a little bit of no growth, maybe a little reduction of this or a little reduction of that. It's odd. It's very clear that you can make these people live a long time without shrinking their tumor.